Christian does should be within the will of God. Everything within the will of God that a Christian does should be done according to the will of God. Not only what we do, but how we do it. And everything that we do in the will of God, by the will of God, should be done for the glory of God. True or false? I thought this was a no-brainer. It's true. Now, I guess I've been too devious in the past. All right. Everything that the child of God does should be in the will of God, done by the will of God, and done for the glory of God. Question, and this is not a trick question either, but it's one that I don't want an answer on, just one for you to think about. Is everything that you do in the will of God, by the will of God, and for the glory of God? I would have to say that 99.9% of us, first one to say yes, or first one to answer that question, would say, no, it's not. Tonight I want us to consider, should we celebrate Christmas? Is celebrating Christmas in the will of God? If it is, are we doing it according to the will of God? And are we doing it for the glory of God? There are groups, and I mentioned this morning that Jehovah's Witnesses are the principal ones among them, that say that the celebration of Christmas is not in the will of God. Definitely is not being done according to the will of God, and cannot therefore be in any way giving glory unto God. I have six arguments that are used to determine whether the celebration of Christmas is in the will of God or not. And all these, they would say, would prove that it's not. I'll list them for you tonight and offer some rebuttal and some things for you to think about. Number one, the Bible only records two birthday celebrations. And after all, the celebration of Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Christ. The two birthday celebrations are found in Genesis chapter 40 and Mark chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 40, we find the celebration of the birth of Pharaoh. And in Mark chapter 6, we find the celebration of the birth of Herod. Both were unbelievers. Both were anti-God people. And therefore, the conclusion is, since the Bible only records two birthday celebrations, both by pagan, birthday celebrations are pagan celebrations. And therefore, celebrating the birth of Christ is a pagan celebration. Let me give you three rebuttals to this, something to think about tonight. First of all, the Bible does not record everything that everyone did. Simply because it records two birthday celebrations does not mean that that was the only two people that ever celebrated birthdays. Now they would say, well, you can't find any record of any Christian or Jewish person in the Old Testament celebrating a birthday, and that's true. However, turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to John chapter 21. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, that which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. In other words, in the gospel accounts, and you have four gospel accounts, each recording various aspects or things or activities in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, not everything was written that he did. Could it be that somewhere along the line, maybe Matthew celebrated his birthday and it wasn't written down? We don't know that he did or that he didn't. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible simply doesn't record everything that everyone did. And to say that because it doesn't mention that Christians celebrated these things is like saying, because it doesn't mention that Steelers were playing football today. must mean that the Steelers don't exist. Secondly, was Jesus born? Now that's a no-brainer too, and it's not a clear question. Yes, he was. It's a historical fact. And it's a fact that he was born on a specific day. And that day comes around in the cycle of our calendar once a year. And there's nothing to say that because, well, it only comes around once that you shouldn't celebrate it. Thirdly, the argument stems from the fact that it was celebrated by pagans, therefore it is a pagan tradition. Pagans do a lot of good things, don't they? Pagans are charitable. So therefore, being charitable is a pagan tradition, and we shouldn't be charitable. Pagans eat food. And therefore, eating food is a pagan tradition, and therefore we shouldn't eat food. Pagans breathe. Therefore, Christians shouldn't breathe. No. The fact of the matter is, simply because an unbeliever does something doesn't mean that that something isn't worth doing. And therefore, the argument that the Bible only records two birthdays, and therefore, because they're of pagans, simply doesn't hold any water. Secondly, hinging right on that, moving on from there, the argument is, nowhere does the Bible command the celebration of Christmas. It does command the remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In fact, we celebrated that this morning in the communion service. That is a command. This do. Not, if you get around to it, try and do this. That was a command. So therefore, since there is no command to celebrate Christmas, there's no need to do it. A couple of arguments against that, three of them. Nowhere does the Bible command brushing your teeth. Aren't you glad we do it? The Bible doesn't command everything. There are certain things that we do that we do because it's the right thing to do. And there just doesn't need to be any command to do those things. Second one that falls on the heels of that, nowhere does the Bible command that we worship on Sunday. Does it? In fact, we find the early church observing the Sabbath very early on, but as time went by, they recognized, you know what? The most appropriate thing for us to be doing in our worship is to worship on Sunday, the day of the resurrection. And the Christian church for almost 2,000 years now has been celebrating or worshiping on not the Sabbath day, but on Sunday. The Bible never commands that. And I think it is the most appropriate day of worship. Thirdly, if the Bible doesn't command believers to celebrate Christmas, then why did the shepherds and the wise men come to Bethlehem? Turn back in your Bibles. Let's look at the accounts. I know they're familiar. But turn back with me to Luke chapter 2. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, or into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Here they are, the angels come down, they make an announcement of the birth of Christ. Well, another question might be, why did the angels bother to make this announcement? Wouldn't people sooner or later find out about it? What was important that they note that night, the night of his birth? Well, there had to be some importance to it that they came that night. And the shepherds, once they realized what was going on, they said, you know what, the Lord has made this known unto us, it therefore must be important. let's sit here and sing Kumbaya. No, they said, we need to go and see this child. Well, wait a minute. It's just a little baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. What's there to see? He's not going to get up and do any miracles. He's not going to say anything. In fact, he'll be sleeping most of the time. But there was a necessity that I believe the Lord laid on their heart to go and see the babe in the manger and to celebrate. Likewise, turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. My own reckoning puts this date about 3 weeks after the actual birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw his star the night he was born. They got their stuff together. They took off. And it would take a couple of weeks for them to get from Babylon down to Jerusalem. By this time, he was no longer in the manger. In fact, by this time, they didn't know where he was. That's why they had to come to Jerusalem. And they asked Herod, saying, where is he? We want to find out where he is. We've come to worship him. We have no idea. By the way, as I said at the banquet on Monday night, it's then after they left there that the star reappeared to them and led them to Bethlehem. But they came and found him in a house. Well, they came to worship him. Why didn't they wait till he grew up and started his earthly ministry? There was something about the birth of Christ that drew them to come and to worship. And oh, by the way, present some gifts. One of the passages that's often referred to concerning the celebration of Christmas is that in the tribulation times, the two witnesses are going to die, and the people of the earth are going to be so excited that they'll be giving gifts one to another. And they say, see, this thing of giving gifts, that's something that people do, not in celebration of what God's doing, but of what the Antichrist is doing. Therefore, Christians shouldn't be giving gifts. Tell that to the wise men. Now, those gifts that they brought were actually used by Joseph and Mary in their flight to Egypt in providing the physical necessities that they had. Nowhere does the Scripture command it, but we find these people doing it out of a heart that I believe was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Number three. The early church did not celebrate Christmas. And apparently that's historically accurate. There are no records anywhere that I know of the early church having a cantata. What would you have done if you lived 2,000 years ago? There's no records anywhere of Christmas Eve pageants, of candlelight services, that type of thing. It's just not there. But why is that? What garnered most of the attention of the early church? Was it the birth of Christ? Spreading the gospel and what else? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That was the prominent theme of that day. Now, I think as time went on and they moved farther and farther away from the historical day of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they said, you know what, we need to remember his birth also. That's an important thing. And consequently, the birth of Christ became of equal importance with his death, burial, and resurrection. But early on, it was simply overshadowed by his death and resurrection. Secondly, the early church was not a perfect church. Oftentimes we say, we got to get back to what the early church was like. And that sounds good, doesn't it? Unless that church was Corinth. Then we've got problems. You read Paul's two epistles to the Corinthian church, and there's not much good that he has to say about them. That was a church riddled by problems. There was strifes and contentions. They were permitting immorality. They had confusion about spiritual gifts. They weren't even sure that the resurrection was going to take place. All kinds of issues. That's not the church that we need to get back to. Simply by saying that the early church didn't celebrate Christmas doesn't mean that the early church was perfect and therefore our model. Fourthly, the word Christmas literally is a combination of the word Christ and Mass. Mass meaning suffering or death. It's used prominently in the Roman Catholic worship service. You don't go to a worship service in the Catholic Church, you go to a Mass. And the central object of the Mass is the Eucharist, the partaking of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating His death, His suffering. So the Christmas celebration is literally a celebration of the suffering of Christ. Therefore, when we say Merry Christmas to somebody, what we are saying is, have a good time celebrating the suffering of Christ. Which is kind of one of those things that are opposites. Oxymoron. I couldn't think of it there for a second. Simply because something is misnamed by the world does not necessarily mean that the thing itself is wrong. What if, instead of calling this a Bible, I called this a whatchamacallit? And everyone referred to it as a whatchamacallit. That was my grandfather's favorite word, whatchamacallit. This is not a whatchamacallit, it's a Bible. And the word Bible is the Greek word biblos for book. And in this case, a book that contains the Word of God. Not a whatchamacallit. Well, just because this thing might be misnamed by the world doesn't mean then that you throw this out. Likewise, with the Christmas celebration, I don't think necessarily that the word Christmas is the best word to describe it. I don't know that really wishing someone Merry Christmas is the best thing to say. However, that does not mean that you don't celebrate the season. Secondly, the incarnation was in reality the beginning of the suffering of Jesus. Think of it. On the night that Jesus Christ was born, He was born to parents who were rich. He was born to parents who provided the best medical treatment for Him to come into this world. He was born to parents that laid Him in the most expensive bed. Parents that provided the greatest education for Him, the finest of delicacies of food and everything that the child could want. Must have been a different gospel I read. Without question, the life that the Lord Jesus Christ led was a life of suffering. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it began the very night He was born. So to say that Christmas is necessarily an inaccurate term in and of itself is not true either. Number five.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
They're saying happy holidays.
That's the world doesn't like the word Christ. We have no problems with the Mass part. We have problems with the Christ part. So let's get rid of Christ because that's not politically correct. So we can say happy holidays, which will include Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, New Year's Day, Rosemary's birthday, hunting season, whatever the case may be. That's the reason that they're doing that. Number five. December 25th is not necessarily the day that Jesus was born. We don't know that with an absolute certainty. And that's true. We do not know that with absolute certainty that Jesus was born on December 25th. The chief objection to that date is that the Scripture says that the shepherds were keeping their flocks by night around Bethlehem. And It was understood that during the months of November through March that the sheep would have been under cover at night, therefore not out in the fields, and therefore they had, if they were out in the fields, it was earlier in the year. Some people have suggested, and not just the Jehovah's Witnesses, that the December 25th date was the night not Jesus was conceived or born, but conceived, putting his birth in the end of September, which is an interesting date. That's very possible, except for a number of things. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things I want to give you. Late in the 2nd century or early in the 3rd century, a man by the name of Hippolytus declared that December 25th was a probable date for the birth of Christ. In 386 A.D., a man by the name of John Chrysostom said, after doing a lot of research, that with absolute certainty, December 25th was the day Christ was born. Now, here are two men supposedly having done some research. And I don't know what they researched, how they came to their conclusion. But they were relatively close to the first century, and therefore they probably had some things at their disposal that might have been accurate in their research. They said that that was the date. Now, especially with John Chrysostom, as the years went on, there was a greater and greater pagan influence in the church, and there may have been some pressures on him to make the December 25th the date, whether it was or wasn't. Secondly, a mild winter would allow the shepherds to be out at night. This year is not a mild winter. Whatever happened to global warming, I don't know. Could have used a little of it the last month. The last month has been incredibly cold for this time of year. But there are years, I can remember a number of years, that you could go out on Thanksgiving Day and almost wear shorts. It's been that warm, comfortable. And even up to Christmas time, the weather isn't too bad. It's January and February that are usually the rough months. And had this been a mild winter, they certainly could have been out at night. Thirdly, the Scripture says that they were around Bethlehem. They came, they left their sheep, and they came into Bethlehem itself to come see the Lord Jesus Christ. During the summer months, late spring into early fall, they would have been way out in the wilderness keeping their sheep. They wouldn't have been around the city. They wouldn't have had opportunity to come into the city and see the Lord Jesus Christ. In that they were around Bethlehem, it would indicate that the time was the winter time. Fourthly, the Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish writings, says that the sheep at Bethlehem were outside all year round. Other sheep were undercover from November through March, but the sheep in Bethlehem stayed outdoors all year round. Therefore, that's not an indication that it wasn't the winter time. Nextly, Passover sheep must be kept outside for observation for, I believe it's 30 days before the Passover. The Passover can come early in March, which would mean that the sheep had to be outside throughout most of February. February is the coldest month in Israel in the year. Well, if they can be outside in the coldest month of the year, certainly they can be outside in December. So all those reasons there indicate that while we may not know that December 25th was the actual date, it certainly is a probable date. But whether it was or wasn't really isn't the issue. Let me ask another question. On what day did Jesus die? Do you know there's a great debate among theologians as to what the actual day of his death was? Most of us subscribe to Friday, and I believe that's the day of the week that it was. But there are some that say it was a Wednesday, some that say it was a Thursday. There is no absolute agreement amongst Christians as to the day which Jesus died. Now, if you take the argument of these folks and say, because you can't know the day, you can't celebrate it, then you can't celebrate the death of Christ. And we're commanded to. We've got a problem there. So the argument that December 25th is not with certainty the actual day of Jesus' birth, therefore you don't celebrate it, that doesn't wash either. Last argument that they offer. Current celebration of Christian is not really a celebration of his birth, but has in reality pagan origins. And without question, there is some overlap of things. Non-Christians early on were celebrating the Feast of Saturnalia, which is the winter solstice. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but out in the state of Washington, in the capital out there, the governor of the state made a proclamation that the atheists could put up a sign right next to the nativity scene that was on display that there is no Christmas, that it's a pagan holiday and this and that. Big controversy about that until somebody stole the sign, which was interesting. There is some overlap, and certainly without question, some of the pagan ideas and celebrations of the day, I believe, have found their way into the Christmas celebration. Lord willing, next Sunday evening, we're going to look at how should we celebrate Christmas, and I'll deal with those issues then. But let me just respond to this argument. What the world does is not determinative to whether we celebrate or not. The world has corrupted Easter. I read my whole Bible this week, scanned it. I looked for the Easter bunny. Couldn't find him anywhere. And yet, isn't by the world standards, that's what Easter is all about? Simply because the world corrupts something doesn't mean that you ignore it altogether. We want to be very, very careful in how we celebrate Christmas. And as I said, I'll deal with that next year. A parallel would be the observance of Halloween. Halloween, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, has pagan origins behind it. It is not a Christian holiday. I have no problems with someone dressing up as the Tooth Fairy or something and Bugs Bunny or whatever the case may be. But the fact of the matter is, the day that they do it, you're aligning yourself with some pagan origins, and it's not just a good deal. The fact of the matter is that the celebration of Christmas is rooted in a Bible event. And if the world corrupts it, well, then that's the world's problem, not the Christians. Now, what do we draw from all this tonight? I think it is necessary for Christians to celebrate Christmas. Not just optional, it's necessary. But here's where we go wrong. When do we celebrate Christmas? No, we don't. Unfortunately, that's when we should celebrate Christmas. I think December is an appropriate time as a specific time. I think December 25th is probably pretty close to the day of his birth. And that's a day that we should pick out, whether that's the day of the year or not. But the fact of the matter is, it should be a celebration every day of the year. And what happens is we compartmentalize it, and we say, okay, we're in the Christmas season. And as soon as December 26th rolls around, what do? We start putting the Christmas decorations away. We're looking forward to the new year. And we forget all about Christ who came from heaven to die on Calvary's cross for us. We need to celebrate Christmas a whole lot more often. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we've worked our way through rationally and hopefully biblically tonight, May our hearts be moved to the celebration of Christmas in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Christ. Lord, may we not be caught up with the world's ideas, the world's ways, that we get lost, that we forget what this whole holiday is all about. Lord, may we then be found faithful in remembering Him 365 days a year, and not just for a month. Lord, dismiss us now. Watch over us as we travel to our homes. Give our bodies rest tonight so that should the day dawn tomorrow, we might be found accomplishing Your will with much vigor, with vitality, with joy, with enthusiasm, until Christ comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week.